Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville. I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. You know, today I just want to give you a little safety belt. Is that okay? Just a little seat belt. Do you remember when seat belts came into law? Do you remember that? And we had seat belts in cars for years and didn't know why they were there. We never used them, and then they came into law, and then we were made to use them. And of course, they saved a lot of lives. But also, even on airplanes, safety belts came into law. And today, I want to give you a safety belt. But I heard a little story about an airplane that was taking off many, many years ago, and so the flight attendants back then, they were called stewardesses. You know, they were getting all their passengers settled in and getting the seat belts on and all of that. And back in those days, the older planes flew through the storm. Nowadays, we have these big fancy planes and they go high enough to go over the storm. But used to, you know, you'd fly in those old planes. I think they were Boeing 707 and you know, all of these. And you go through the storm and you'd be shaken and, you know, and go through so much turbulence. So they made you put on the seatbelt. So the stewardess was going through the airplane. And there was this huge man sitting there on the flight, and he was the only one without his safety belt. And the stewardess said, "Sir, I need you to put on your safety belt." Well, come to find out, it was Cassius Clay. It was Muhammad Ali. And so he said, "Ma'am, Superman don't need no safety belt." And she quipped back and she said, "Well, sir, Superman don't need no airplane either. Put on your safety belt." And he did. So I just want to give you a safety belt today. Just if you're going through turbulence, if you're going through a stormy time, a windy time, and you're feeling shaken up a little bit, I want to just talk to you about that Jesus cares. I just have just a small thought, but I've been meditating on it, been ruminating on it. God cares. He truly cares. You know, so many times, you know, we want to box God in and think that he can only work in the realms that we can see. If we have enough money, or if we could work overtime to get the money to get this, or if we can, you know, make this connection and jockey for this position, and then God can do it. But I just want you to know that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And I just want to take this one passage of scripture. It is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Very familiar passage. But it says, "Casting all your care on him, because he cares for you." I believe it's the NIV that says, "Casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you." The New Living Translation. I just like to see what everybody's saying, okay? And so this is what the New Living Translation says. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." He truly cares for you. Isn't it wonderful to know that the God of all the universe, He really cares. A lot of times, you know, we feel like we're out there on our own. And sometimes we feel like we don't have a friend that cares. Who do we call? What do we do? I'm going to tell you the saddest thing. Recently, there was a pastor in our city whose son passed away. And this is public knowledge. He told this in a sermon that he preached. So broken and precious man and woman of God. But their son passed away. And he said, when we got the news of our son passing away, he walked out of the room. And he came back in the room and he told his wife, he said, "I don't even know who to call. Who do I call? Who cares?" You know? And so I want you to know today that whatever it is you're facing, it might not be the passing of a child, But whatever it is important to God. And He really cares. I want to go from the NIV, what it says about anxiety. So let's talk about what anxiety is. It involves apprehension, dread, constant worry, and negative expectations. And the physical side of it is that it triggers our body's stress response, okay? And it's a fight or flight, resulting in a racing heart or sweating or sweaty palms, you know, muscle tension, dizziness, rapid breathing. That's what anxiety is. A lot of times it manifests in our physical body. But I just can't stress to you, I just sense that I'm talking to somebody. You need to know that God really cares. I think sometimes we carry burdens that we're not equipped to carry. God never equipped us to carry the things that we're carrying. Why? He says, cast it on me because I care. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. Anxiety, worry, you know, that made me think of Rahab when the spies came in. She said, we heard of all the miracles that God has done for Israel. And she said, our hearts melted. We lost our strength. We lost our strength. And a lot of times we can be so anxious that it affects us and that we're overwhelmed. King David said this. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. My goodness, we have a rock, the Lord Christ Jesus. And He's not just some, you know, some entity out there. I've told you this before, but I think often of the song that Bette Midler wrote and sang. She said, God is watching us from a distance. I want you to know that is a lie that the enemy wants you to believe, that God is at a distance. And He's got His binoculars out and He's going, man, I hope they make it. I really hope they can get through this turbulence, through this storm. No, He is a present help in time of trouble. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. A familiar verse of scripture that goes along with this, I just want to show it to you again. Just put you in remembrance of this passage, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, Be anxious for nothing. A few months ago, we were going through a situation. It was too big for me. I want to just stop right here and say this. I've served the Lord for decades. And if I can save you any trouble or give you a shortcut into success, I've learned this only recently. I'm sad to admit it. But I'll go in before the Lord and I'll get down on my knees, on my face. And I tell God, Lord, this is what it is. Do something. It's too big for me and I just cast it on you. Lord, right now I cast it on you. One of those, the word for casting means to hurl. Get rid of it quickly. I hurl it. I cast it on you. And it brings to remembrance when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem riding the donkey. You remember this? And people cast their cloaks down and they cast down palm branches. This is the imagery that I want you to see. Just hurl it. And learning this secret of getting on my knees before God and say, God, I just cast it on you. It's too big for me. It has helped me immensely to learn this in my Christian walk because I go away lighter. Now, in the natural, the situation may not have changed, but my heart is no longer overwhelmed. My palms aren't sweating. My heart isn't racing. You know, my breathing isn't rapid because I've cast it on Him. He's equipped to carry it. You know, I remember a song that was very popular in the 70s and 80s. And I want to remember the name of the singer, but anyway, it was brilliant. It was a beautiful song. And he said, if He carries the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know, my brother, He can carry you. If He carries the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know, my sister, He will carry you. I believe it was Scott Wesley Brown, I want to say. And you can Google it, research it, because it will bless you. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. But if you don't hear anything else that I say today, remember this. If He carries the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know He can carry you. So Psalm 55 and 22 says this, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. So in other words, He doesn't just deliver you and pull you out, but He sustains you. You know, a very familiar passage of Scripture, the disciples came to Jesus in Matthew 6 and 9, and they asked the Lord to teach him to pray. And the first thing He said was, pray this. Pray our Father. And so the Lord loves His children as a father. It's such a beautiful type. God formed the family, made the family, so that we could see a type and a shadow of how God feels about His children. 1 John 3 and 1 says this, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Don't you love your children? Don't you want the best for your children? You know, the way I feel about my children is this. You know, you can hurt me, that's one thing. You hurt my kids. You say hurtful things about my kids. You know this. You do something to harm my child, and the mama bear comes out in me. And I want to roar and get in it. I have to curb myself sometimes and let them fight their own battles and let them learn to let God fight their battles. But nevertheless, it's a type of how God feels about you and I. I want to read that a different translation. What I read to you, 1 John 3:1. Was the New King James Version, but what I want to read to you now is the New Living Translation of 1 John 3:1, because I like it a lot and I think you will too. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. That is what we are. Psalm 103 verses 11 through 14, we'll read this. This is New King James Version. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, watch this. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He knows that we can't carry it. That's why He gave us a safety belt. He gave us this safety, casting all your cares. You know, there are Christians, there's a whole sector of Christians that believe, you know, if you're living this right, if you're walking by faith and you're doing this right, you won't have tribulation. You won't have turbulence. You won't have storms. But I'm here to tell you that I've lived on this terra firma for 25 years, 65 years. And I have found out that life will hand you unexpected things out of the blue. things that the enemy would like to use to crush you and crumble you and overwhelm you. But I want you to know our frame isn't built for it. We're not built to carry this kind of load. So he says, casting all your cares on him. God knows you have cares. God knows you go to the doctor and the doctor will give you an unexpected prognosis, or your kids will come in with news, you know, that'll rattle you to your knees buckle. I know this. God knows this. And so he tells you this before things ever happen. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares. He really cares. I started to tell you this a few minutes ago, but we were going through a situation that was too big for me, and it overwhelmed me, and it nagged at my heart. I'd find myself, you know, I try not to. You want to bring your thoughts into captivity, but sometimes they creep up on you, and you don't even realize you're going down this rabbit trail, and then you catch yourself, and all of a sudden you're sad, and you're overwhelmed, and you're fearful, and you know, and immediately the Lord brought to me, be anxious for nothing. And it wasn't really a beckoning. It was more of a command. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your needs requests known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. And I want you to know, the minute I would get that word, the minute that thing would come back on me, that word would come up, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I want to just show you that the word pities. The Lord pities his children. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. The word pities means to love, deeply love, have mercy, be compassionate, have tender affection. You know, we're commanded to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Why? Because that's how he loves you. That's how he feels about you. Isaiah 40 and 28 says this, have you not heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth. And he never grows weak or weary. Friend, I just want to tell you, you can't weary God with your requests. You can't weary God going over and over and casting and casting. You can't weary him. You can weary friends. I'm guilty. I've you know, been in situations and I just keep going back, you know, and wearying my friends and just wearing them out and wanting to talk about it and talk it out and all of that. And they can't help me. So I go to God and he cares for me. He really does. He can't be wearied. Isaiah 49 and 16 says this, see, he says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. What a beautiful picture. This is Isaiah. This is the Old Testament before Christ was crucified. But what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ taking all of our cares to the cross and nailing them to a tree and destroying the yoke of the enemy and making it illegal for the enemy to come against you. You have a legal right now to stand before God and take all your burdens to the Lord. I just want to show you this very quickly. In Exodus 28, the high priest wore a breastplate with 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. Exodus 28:19, let's read it. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. So when the priest went into the presence of God once a year, the high priest, he wore this breastplate that was encrusted with jewels, each one representing each of the sons of Israel, each of the tribes of Israel. And I want to show you here that Jesus Christ now is our high priest, Hebrews 4:14, and we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And so when he comes into the presence of God, he's carrying you. Your high priest is carrying your name upon his heart. And you are engraved in the palm of his hands. How much more loving and caring could a father be that when he goes before God, he carries you on his heart? Isn't that just beautiful? God carries us continually. Isaiah 46:4 says that even to your old age, I am he. I have made and I will bear you. Even I will carry you and deliver you. Not just when you're young and in the heat of the battle, but even in your old age, he says in Isaiah 46:4, I'll carry you even when you get old. You don't have to worry about retirement. You don't have to worry about your old age and what's going to happen to you. God's still carrying your name on his heart. Christ is still carrying you there on his breastplate and in his hands. So, I want to just show you this other passage of scripture that I just love it. I love it so much. Psalm 121:4, it says, he that keeps Israel or keeps you shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121 repeatedly uses the word keep. So he that keeps you, he that keeps Israel, he that keeps his children. This word keep is the Hebrew word shamar, and it means guard, preserve, watch over, and attend carefully. You know, I remember when our son Nicholas was born. I really only carried him about 27 weeks. And you know that normal gestation for a fetus is about 40 to 42 weeks. And I only carried him 27 weeks. And he got here weighing 2 pounds. And so I won't go all into that. But he stayed in the hospital there in Oakland, California, Oakland Children's Hospital, for about three months. And when they sent him home from the hospital, it was a pretty daunting task for his dad and I, because, you know, he was hooked up to machines and still on a breathing machine. We were on the plane with this cannula and all this. And so we were really overwhelmed, because at 3 months old, when they sent him home from the hospital, he had just peaked 5 pounds. He was just five, tiny, tiny. Most babies weigh more than that, you know, when they're born. And so he was so fragile and so tiny. And we'd been in the hospital for 3 months with him. And all of our energy we had put into his survival and prayer and intercession. And now we're going home with this baby, and we don't really know what all to do with him, you know. So we learned a lot. But I remember they sent us home with an apnea, a sleep apnea monitor. And when this, he would stop breathing in the night. He was so tiny, just so little. And he would stop breathing in the night. And this apnea monitor, it would go off, and it would literally sound like that there was an ambulance going through our bedroom. Woo, woo, you know, really loud. And up to 7 and 8 times a night, this machine would go off. And I remember Pastor Kent and I, we were so sleepy, because we were up, you know, the apnea monitor goes off, you're startled out of your sleep, you go and shake the baby and make sure he's breathing, and, you know, and then you try to get back to sleep, and here in a few minutes later it goes off. Well, incidentally, they put us in the hospital because they thought, you know, this baby's not breathing. Come to find out, the apnea monitor was broken, And we were going through all of this for nothing. The baby was fine. And of course, he's 32 years old. But my point here is that I cared so much about this baby, but nevertheless, I was human. And there's a saying, a Southern saying, we were stupid sleepy. We were just sleepy, sleepwalking all day and not sleeping at night. And when I read this passage of scripture here in Psalm 21, I realized that when I got up this morning, my God, my Father, my Jesus didn't sleep all night long because he was watching over me. Let's go back and see what it is. He that keepeth Israel shall never slumber or sleep. So that word is guard. I want you to know, man, I just feel my words landing in somebody's heart right now. I really do. I want you to know that even when you lie awake at night and you worry, your heart pounds and you worry about tomorrow and you're thinking, God, this anxiety is about to kill me. You might feel it. You know, you might have chest pains and you feel like this baby elephant is sitting on your chest. And even when you drift off to sleep and you're not awake to worry about it and figure out what to do, God is still guarding you. He's still preserving you. He doesn't sleep. He's attending you carefully as a father pities his child. So I just want to say to you, cast it on him. He really does care. He really is working on your behalf. I'll put you in remembrance of the passage of scripture that says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he that watches over you never sleeps and he never slumbers. My goodness, I just pray that I've been an encouragement to you today. You know, I remember Jesus Christ. We're talking about turbulence and wind and storms. I remember Jesus Christ. He stepped out on the bow of the boat and he spoke to the wind and he said, "Peace, be still." And so I want to speak over you today. Some of you are caring for aging parents. Some of you are on medication and you're concerned about this prognosis or you're prodigal. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has spoken a word out of heaven that is still relevant today. It is still relevant today, and the winds and waves still have to obey this word. Peace be still. I speak peace, be still over your life, your body, your family, your finances, your mind, your heart. And I pray blessings on you in Jesus' name. I love you so much, and I'll see you right here next time.